CBS News. Day one of the Democratic National Convention has come to a close. It was an evening of political speeches and speculation about who Jimmy Carter wants for a running mate. I'm Rita Sands reporting on the CBS radio network. There were seven possible vice presidential candidates on Carter's list. Now there are six. Representative Peter Rodino of New Jersey has withdrawn, citing a chronic eye ailment. Senator John Glenn of Ohio remains on that list. He delivered the first keynote speech and talked of national unity.
Now is the time to erase divisiveness and despair, to keep the good from the past, to add our own good, to look to the future, to build a nation of justice, a nation of equality, a nation of opportunity, in which we can be proud patriots. That is our hope. That is the hope of this nation. The future is in our hands to shape. Let's get going.
Representative Barbara Jordan of Texas delivered the next keynote address, the first woman and the first black to do so. She talked of the responsibility of those in government.
More is required of public officials than slogans and handshakes and press releases. More is required. We must hold ourselves strictly accountable. We must provide the people with a vision of the future. If we promise as public officials, we must deliver.
CBS News correspondent Reed Collins was on hand for both speeches and has this report.
It was a study in contrast. The first keynote speaker, the white hero of the first seven astronauts, John Glenn. Glenn did not penetrate the babble which is the convention floor beneath the rostrum. There was milling about and then perfunctory applause. But the second keynoter was more unique even than an astronaut. She was a black and a woman who had established her credentials by being elected to Congress from Texas and by winning the plaudits of her fellows by performance. The convention for these moments of the Barbara Jordan speech became truly a convention. Sustained applause, rapt attention, another standing ovation at the end. Many wondered in that moment if Jimmy Carter had spoken too soon by saying the time was not yet for Barbara Jordan's and the vice presidential considerations. But the time this year apparently has passed the party by. This is Reed Collins, CBS News, Madison Square Garden.
When the gavel sounds again Tuesday afternoon, there will be a credentials committee report, a rules committee report, and a platform committee report. The actual nomination of Jimmy Carter comes Wednesday, and shortly thereafter, according to Carter, will come his announcement of a running mate. Now this.
You've heard that old saying, where there's smoke, there's fire. Well, that's exactly what a smoke detector is supposed to tell you. It's designed to alert you of fire by emitting a warning alarm when it senses smoke. But field engineer Ray McNabb of Underwriters Laboratories says for a smoke detector to be most effective, it must be installed in a strategic location.
And there's no more strategic location than outside your bedroom door. After all, when you're asleep, you're not likely to be aware of smoke until it's too late. So be sure to have the smoke detector installed on the ceiling outside your bedroom door. And if you have a basement, it would be wise to install a smoke detector at the top of the basement stairs.
And maintenance is awfully important, too.
It certainly is. Read the instruction booklet thoroughly. If your smoke detector relies on battery power, then you should replace the batteries according to the instruction booklet, even if the warning device on your detector has not sounded.
This is public safety information from UL and this station.
A memorial ceremony was held in Montreal Monday night in honor of 11 Israeli athletes killed at the Munich Olympics in 1972. The 1976 Montreal Olympics are scheduled to begin Saturday. Negotiations continue aimed at persuading the Taiwan athletes to compete without using the Republic of China flag. The team has so far refused. Seven people died from rifle fire Monday at California State University in Fullerton. The school janitor is in police custody. Now this.
It's the white collar, the heart's two-in-one collar that kills both ticks and fleas.
This summer, don't let ticks and fleas make your pet suffer. Put a heart's two-in-one collar on your dog or cat now. Don't let ticks and fleas get a free ride into your home. Put a heart's two-in-one collar on your pet now. To kill ticks and fleas, the right collar is the white collar.
Get the white collar, the heart's two-in-one collar. It kills both ticks and fleas.
I'm Fred Lynn, center fielder for the Boston Red Sox. It's a baseball first. The first All-Star game to be played in Philadelphia's Veterans Stadium, Tuesday night, July 13th. You can be there, too, with play-by-play coverage from CBS Radio Sports.
The All-Star Game, you'll hear it all. When CBS Radio Sports brings you live, exclusive play-by-play radio coverage, Tuesday, July 13th. It's baseball's big night of the summer. Listen wherever you are, over most of these CBS Radio network stations.
A space scientist says Mars has a polluted atmosphere visually similar to a smoggy day in Pasadena. That's one of the latest revelations to come from photographs and readings being sent to Earth by the unmanned U.S. Viking spacecraft circling Mars and heading for a July 20th landing. Two landings have already been canceled because of hazardous surface conditions. Rita Sands, CBS News.
And this is KIXI Seattle. The weather outlook mostly cloudy with increasing chance of showers tonight and tomorrow. Variable cloudiness with some sunny periods, but a slight chance of a few showers on Wednesday. The highs upper 60s tomorrow, low 70s on Wednesday, and lows in the mid-40s. Well, let's make that the mid-50s. And currently in downtown Seattle, it's 58 degrees, 60 at the airport. The barometer holding steady at 30.10. And taking a look at sports briefly, Madeline Manning Jackson, the 800-meter gold medalist at the 1968 Olympics, has been named co-captain with Gail Fitzgerald of the U.S. women's track team in Montreal. As the baseball world turns its attention to tomorrow night's All-Star game in Philadelphia, owners and players have reached a tentative agreement on a new contract. The pact would bind players to a team for 6 years, plus a one-year option period. A New Orleans Saint quarterback, Joe Gilliam, confined to bed with a stomach virus, missed practice today. Gilliam disappeared from camp for 3 days last week and was fined $750. Mystery Theater next at 7 past
the
10.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. The meek shall inherit the earth, but surely not today. Indeed, it wouldn't be surprising if it didn't happen next week or next month or even next year. In order to be a successful member of the meek, one requires patience. Indeed, the thing the meek do better than anyone else is to endure injustice with patience. And yet there is a human limit to endurance, while obviously there is no limit to injustice. Something has to give.
Can you describe the man who killed my son?
Oh, no. No.
But you saw the man.
I didn't. I swear I didn't.
That isn't true.
Who are you to come busting in and giving me the third degree? Get out!
What did he look like?
Mister, I got a husband, kids. Let me alone.
What did he look like?
Get out!
Yes, I shall get out. But I shall return tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after. And I'll ask you again and again, and you will not know a moment's peace until you tell me.
Our mystery drama, Blood Red Roses, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Robert Dryden. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
To the man who bought the Skyhawk, to the girl in the century, we're glad you like your Buicks, glad you set your spirit free.
And to the family from Ohio, to the folks up in St. Paul, nice to see you join us, nice to see you all.
There I was with my new Buick Skylark, and there he was, just coming out of the store with a new coffee table. I like your coffee table, I said. I was going to buy one just like it. Thank you, he said. I like your Buick Skylark, too. I was going to buy one just like it. Thank you, I answered. Then he suggested, listen, you like my coffee table and I like your Skylark. Why don't we get married? What can I say? I guess it was love at first, Buick.
It's nice to see you join us. We're glad it came to be. Nice to see you join us. Glad your spirit's free.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
It's the same old earth, same old sea, same old you, and the same old me. We've all been together quite a while, and we'll work as one and grow with pride and live in the sun and be satisfied.
Campaign for Human Development, United States Catholic Conference.
We walk, it seems, a narrow and slippery pathway between poetry and practicality. Poetry tells us to love thy neighbor. Practicality warns us, don't stick your neck out. Don't get involved. These are the voices of practicality. And in so many cases, they seem to prevail. Well, we're about to witness an exercise in both poetry and practicality. And you may judge which course has been the most productive.
I have to stop. I gotta rest. I can't run anymore. Open the door. Quick, open it up. Open.
What do you want?
Please, Lady Glenn, let me in.
But you're in? Who are you? What do you want?
Let me in, please. Just let me hide for a minute.
Hide?
They're after me. They'll kill me.
Go away.
For God's sake.
Go away, I'll scream.
They'll kill me.
Go away, please. Go away.
Somebody's got to hide me. Please. Please.
Yes?
Please help me.
Are you in trouble?
Yeah, the guys are coming after me. Help me.
Well, come in.
Maybe I shouldn't come in.
Well, why not?
Because if they find me here, they can kill you, too.
Well, maybe we better call the police.
Oh, no. No.
But that's what the police are for, to help.
No!
Well, why are those guys after you?
Because I knew too much, I talked too much, and I got no place to hide.
Well, sit down. You will not be killed here.
Oh, maybe not. You got a gun?
This is a sanctuary.
A what?
A sanctuary. The sanctuary of a church.
What church?
My church.
A church? Well, where's the altar? Where's the cross?
This is the church of the heart. It is my ministry to help those in need. Pray with me.
Are you crazy?
Pray to whatever God watched over your childhood, in whatever language you ever spoke to him, but pray from the heart, the spirit.
In here, the dame said he ran in here.
Oh, it's Joe, they found me.
Come on, open up in there, open up, we'll bust it down.
I told you to let me get out of here, now it's too late.
Let us pray.
Open up.
The door is unlocked.
Here, there he is.
Why do you enter this house?
Knock him off, Albie.
Joe, I'm gone. I know that. But this guy, this priest...
What are you trying to pull? What priest?
Don't kill him, Joe. He didn't do anything.
You must not commit violence in this house. I cannot permit
let
you to...
Let go my arm, you not let go.
You must
Albie.
Listen. I forgive you.
He's still alive, Albie.
I forgive... You.
Nick, please.
Let me alone, Anna.
Look, you can't sit here in the room day and night. At least, eat something.
Eat something. That will make everything all right. Eat something, and it will bring Stephen back to life.
Just eat something to keep up your strength.
Yes. I need my strength. I need strength to mourn him.
That very nice police lieutenant called on the telephone. He said, as soon as they find the man who killed...
Yes?
They'll be able to find the man.
Is that true?
Yes, Nick. You see, they have their ways.
Why don't they ask me who killed him?
Ask you?
I know who killed Steve.
Nick.
I killed him. I killed my own son.
Oh, Nick, you don't know what you're saying.
I killed him because I failed him as a father.
It's God's will that we go on living.
I taught him the wrong things.
Would he want you to go mad with grief?
It was my duty as a father to arm him.
I won't listen to
you. To strengthen him for the battle of life.
What are you saying?
What did I teach him?
You taught him to be honest, to be decent.
I betrayed him.
No.
I disarmed him. I sent him naked and defenseless into the jungle. I filled his head with nonsense.
Please, Nick, we must go on somehow.
I said to him, my son, we live because of God's love.
It's true.
It's a lie.
This isn't you talking. This isn't the Nick I've been married to for 40 years.
Yes. That much is true. I am no longer the same Nick. The same stupid Nick. The childish Nick. The Nick who believed in miracles.
Oh, please, don't say any more now. You really don't mean these things. Oh, Mr. Ardmore called. He wants to know if you'll look after his gardens this year as usual.
No.
Nick, if you don't work, you must do something to keep your mind busy.
My mind is busy enough, Anna. I have other things to think about.
What things, Nick? What things?
What things? It only proves that women cannot understand what must be done. I must kill the man who murdered my son. Even as I say these words, I feel a chill. I never spoke this way. I never thought this way. But until now, I never had reason to.
Lieutenant Daly. Who? Well, can't you tell him I'm out? Look, I feel sorry for him, too, but what can I do about it? All right, send him in. What does this old guy want from me, anyhow? Mr. Burko, come in, sit down.
Oh, thank you.
I know what you're here to ask me.
Yes.
And let me tell you, we're working on it.
Are there any results?
Well, it was a gangland killing. We know that much.
Yes?
The guy they were after was a stool pigeon.
Excuse me?
No, an informer.
Oh, yes.
Well, the problem is, any one of a number of well-known racketeers could have ordered the hit. We don't know which gang, which outfit is responsible.
Yeah, but the gunmen, they prowled through the neighborhood. They were seen. Surely they can be described.
By whom?
By witnesses.
We can't find any.
But it is a crowded street. Someone saw them.
People are frightened.
It is known that the fugitive ran from door to door, and each door was closed to him.
Yes, the old story. Nobody wanted to get involved. Now, you can't blame people too much, you know. They're scared.
Have you spoken to the people?
Yes, Mr. Burko, but we can't force people to testify.
Maybe if I spoke to them...
What makes you think they would listen to you?
I would ask them in a certain way.
Yeah?
May I speak with you? My name is Nicholas Bierko. I am Stephen Bierko's father.
Oh, yeah. You want to come in?
Oh, thank you.
Well, won't you sit down? Can I get you something? A cup of tea, maybe?
No, thank you.
Huh. Oh, that son of yours, he was a saint. He's always there when you needed him. You ought to be so proud. Everybody in the neighborhood was crazy about him. The animals that killed him, the chair is too good for him.
Can you describe the men who killed him?
No, I really didn't get a good look at him.
Describe them, please.
Oh, Mr. Bierko, look, I'm really very busy. I
don't believe you. What did they look like?
I think you'd better leave.
You're frightened, aren't you?
Look, who asked your son to be a hero? He asked for it, and he got it. Now, please, you better go.
I will keep asking you.
Please, I got a husband and kids. I got to protect my own.
I won't stop asking you.
Will you get out?
Yes. And I will wait for you to tell me. I will wait outside. I will stand in the street in front of your door, day and night. And I promise you, you will not know a moment's peace until you tell me.
Nick?
Oh, Anna. Oh. I woke you. I'm sorry.
Oh, where are you going? It's only 6 o'clock in the morning.
Out.
Oh, Nick, you can't keep doing this.
I can. I will. I must.
You just stand on the corner outside that woman's flat.
Go back to sleep.
People think you're insane.
People may think as they like.
Oh, Nick, you have to go back to work.
This is my work.
Your customers. They'll have to hire other landscape artists. All the flowers you planted for so many good people.
I can't be helped.
But what good does it do?
Your only son was murdered, and you have no wish to avenge his death.
Vengeance is mine, says the Lord.
Ah, yes. But since the Lord shows no sign of taking it, I'll have to attend to it myself.
Nick, it's raining outside.
It's also raining on my son's grave.
If you could only find peace.
I will. On the day I avenge his death. They didn't know what to do about me in that neighborhood. They didn't know what to say to me. So, they did nothing. And they said nothing. And they pretended I wasn't there. But I was. Every day, rain and sunshine. And she would go in and out of her house, and she'd go right past me without a word. And I made no move to stop her, to talk to her. I just looked at her. And then I realized she was going to talk to me. Because she was no longer walking past me, she was beginning to run. And every day she would run faster. And I knew there had to be a limit to how fast she could run. And on that day, she would stop running. And she would walk up to me and she would say...
You win. You win. I'll tell you everything. I just can't run from you anymore.
Persistence has paid off. She's going to describe those killers. Joe, Albie, weren't those the names we heard? But what can Nick Bierko do with the information? He talks about revenge, but these are professional hoodlums. Well, he has a second act in which to figure out a course of action.
Well, Bush, headquarters, St. Louis, Missouri.
Are you giving your children all the attention they deserve? Naturally, we all wish we had more time for our families. This is Susan Strasberg for the National Society for the Prevention of Blindness. And as a mother, I think the health and safety of our children's eyesight is one thing we can't afford to neglect. Potentially dangerous toys shouldn't find their way into children's unsupervised playtime, and hazardous household items should be kept well out of reach. 90% of all eye accidents that occur to children are preventable. 2/3 of these accidents occur during play or sport, and most of these children are unsupervised. If that happens, then parents are obviously not doing their job. We must teach our children how to play safely and safeguard their vision. For free information on children's eye safety, write Prevent Blindness, Box 426, New York, New York, 10019. The address again, Box 426, New York, New York, 10019.
He's a quiet man, a humble man, a meek. It is doubtful that he ever entertained a violent thought or performed a violent action in his life. And yet, he proposes to hunt down the professional killers of his only son. Don't sell him short. He was able to get what the police couldn't, a description of the gunmen.
Joe? Yeah, it has to be Joe Murray. He's got blonde hair. He's over 6 feet. Yeah, it's got to be him. And Albie? Albie's his sidekick, Albie Perry.
And so now, Lieutenant, you know who they are.
Yeah, yeah. Well, will this woman testify in court?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, but it does. If she won't testify, we have no witness, and therefore no case. And these guys go free.
I am not concerned with that, Lieutenant Daly.
I thought you wanted to get the guys who killed your son.
These men are merely servants. Isn't that true? Servants of a boss.
Oh, yes. That's certainly true.
It's this boss who hires them and commands them. He's the real murderer. Isn't that true?
Well, yeah.
And you said if you knew the employee, the hireling, you could identify the employer, the boss.
I can, but it won't do us any good. Once again, we have no evidence.
Who is the boss who orders these two men to kill?
They work for Jerry Bissett.
Jerry Bissett?
Yeah.
Where can I find him?
What do you mean, where can you find him? What do you think you can do?
I will make him pay for the murder of my son.
No, but you can't take the law into your own hands.
Lieutenant, I find myself in this position only because the law has failed.
Look, I know how you feel, Mr. Burko.
Huh? Has an only son of yours been murdered?
Well, no.
Well, then you don't know how I feel.
Do you know what you're up against? This guy, Jerry Bissett? He's got connections all the way into Washington, D.C. And so far, he can't be touched. Now, what are you planning? Say, let's say you want to shoot him, huh? How do you think you could get at him? The guy is guarded tighter than Fort Knox, Kentucky.
I thanked him. I went home. And then I almost broke into tears. I realized how helpless I was.
Oh, Nick, you must rid your mind of all these thoughts.
Ah, I must destroy that man the way he has destroyed me.
Nick, you cannot be destroyed. You have too much good in you.
How? Tell me, Anna, how? I've never held a gun in my hand. I can't stand even the thought of a knife.
Nick, you can't kill this man. He's already dead.
And even if I had the weapon, how could I get close enough to him?
His soul has died. He's not worth your trouble.
Help me think of a way.
Would Steve want you to kill him?
Steve?
Hmm.
No.
But only because I filled his head with nonsense.
Don't use that word. What you taught him was not nonsense.
Love, love, my son. Look about you and see God's love. I filled his head with this. It's nonsense. And he believed it. He believed it.
And you don't believe it.
No more. Now, let me be free to think.
About what?
About what I must do. And suddenly, I felt as if a weight had been lifted from my mind. Now, for some reason, everything was so clear. Jerry Bissett. The untouchable Jerry Bissett. I would find a way somehow. And so, instead of wringing my hands and feeling sorry for myself, I decided to act. First, I must learn everything there was to know about Jerry Bissett. In the beginning, Lieutenant Bailey refused to talk to me, but I haunted his office just as I did that lady's street corner, and I heard some gossip, and I took advantage of it.
What are these?
Those are roses, Lieutenant.
I know they're roses. I never saw such beautiful ones.
I understand your wife loves to grow roses.
Yeah, what kind are they?
It's a rose I have developed myself. I will tell her how to plant them, how to...
Now, hold on a minute. Why are you...
This is a bribe.
Oh, no, I can't take...
And what am I asking for? Just information on Jerry Bissett.
But you'll only do something stupid and get yourself killed.
Well, that's my right as a citizen, isn't it?
You know what's funny? Roses.
Why?
Roses just happen to be Jerry Bissett's hobby.
What? This animal appreciates the beauty of a rose?
Many of these animals have become domesticated in certain minor matters. They breed flowers, horses, dogs. They buy art.
Roses.
Yeah. He exhibits at all the shows.
At the shows.
What's funny, Nick?
Roses. As simple as that. Roses. My blood red roses. And that night, I wrote a letter. I went to the library to write this letter because from now on, Anna must not be aware of what I meant to do. I must keep her out of it. Dear Mr. Bissett, I have developed what I thought was a new flower, which I call the blood red rose. A friend has told me that you have displayed such a rose at a show in the South. Will you please accept these flowers from one lover of roses to another and tell me if they are the same as yours?
Nick?
Who was at the door?
Oh, the mailman. He gave me this letter. The envelope, Nick. Have you ever seen such an envelope? It's like parchment.
I see.
And it just has the initials J.B. Nick, where are you going?
In the bedroom.
Dear Mr. Burko, it was kind of you to send me the flowers. Even kinder to think that I could grow anything as magnificent as your blood red rose. Roses, as you may have heard, are my consuming passion. When I find a fellow aficionado, I gotta meet him, talk with him, make him my friend. Please let me know what day would be convenient for you to visit. I should be very happy to send a car for you.
A minute, please. Yes?
Is this the house of Nicholas Burko?
Who are you?
He's expecting us, ma'am.
Who's at the door, Anna?
Mr. Burko. I'm Mr. Bissett's chauffeur.
Nick, what does this mean?
Anna, everything is all right. I'm ready to go with you now, mister.
Just call me Joe.
Joe. I could hear suddenly the voice of Lieutenant Daly.
Joe. Yeah, it has to be Joe Murray. He's got blonde hair. And Albie's his sidekick.
Tall, blonde-haired Joe and I walk downstairs and into the street and over to the curb where a large limousine was waiting. And behind the wheel was another man.
Okay, Albie, let's move.
Joe and Albie, the two men who had murdered my son. And here I was, riding in a car with them.
Nicholas Burko, huh? Well, let me shake your hand. I thought I knew everyone who knew anything about roses in this world, but you are a discovery. Like finding a Rembrandt in the attic. I can't call you Mr. Burko. We gotta be Nick and Jerry, huh? The way we feel about roses, why, we got more in common than most brothers.
My heart, it almost failed me. This man, dressed like a dandy who used cologne. This man who it seemed I could almost crush with my two hands. This man was the terrible Jerry Bizet. No, must be a mistake.
What do you do, Nick?
I work as a gardener.
I gotta correct you. You don't work. You create. And you're not a gardener, you're an artist. Who are you with?
I work for myself.
Well, work for yourself. But work for me. Turn yourself loose on this estate, Nick, and name your price.
Yes, but I...
Be what used to be called artist in residence, huh? Well, that's what you were meant to be. And let me function as I was intended, as a patron of the arts. You and me, Nick, it was meant to be.
Was I going mad? I had come here to kill this man. And now we were talking about my working for him. This depraved killer who had the responsibility for Stevie's death. What stopped me from ending his life right here, right now?
Hey, Pop, might have known you'd be out here.
Junior, I'd like you to meet Nick Burko.
Hiya.
That's my son, Jerome Francis Bizet, Jr.
Oh, how do you do?
Nick developed that rose I showed you, the blood red rose.
Yeah, it's a great thrill, Pop. I need some dough.
You got your allowance yesterday.
Well, you know me, Pop. I can't stay away from that wheel.
Junior, you've got to learn...
Come on. What's the lecture? You own the joint. Every dollar I lose comes back to you. You just keep the money moving, right?
Mr. Roberts tells me you ain't been to the office in a week.
Make that a month. The old guy's covering up for me.
Junior, you gotta do something productive.
Why? My old man's got millions. What do I have to work for?
Suppose we discuss this some other time, huh?
Yeah. Look at Mr. Burko. He's embarrassed. It's okay, Mr. Burko. I can tell. You're a gentleman of the old school. You're lord and master in your house. And when you talk, the wife and kiddies jump, right?
Junior, that is enough.
Mr. Burko is a true son of the soil. Honest, rugged, like a rock. Well, you know what we do around here, Mr. Burko?
Junior!
We kill people. That's right. See, we're very polite. We're very sophisticated. We go to the opera, we visit the museums, we're good neighbors, we give to charities. But if you don't do what we tell you, if you don't buy what we sell you, we kill you.
You shut up, punk!
Ah, that's the dad I know and love. Well, good day to you, Mr. Burko. Mr. Luther Burbank Burko?
Oh, kids. You got any kids, Nick?
No.
Kid. He's 26. 26. Now, why does he do these things to me? Why can't he become a serious person? The world has opened up to him. Whatever he wants to be, I can buy for him. Doctor, lawyer, name it. What am I working for? What am I living for? What have I got? Just this kid.
And now I knew I would not kill him by ending his life. That would be too short, too merciful. I would kill him the way he killed me, by taking away what had made my life worthwhile. I would strike at him through his son, his only child. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and a son for a son.
And that is the price, the blood price. The only problem is, can Nick Burko convince himself to exact it? Can a man suddenly overcome the habits of a lifetime? The snake can shed its skin, but can the leopard change its spots? There will be both shedding and changing when I return shortly with Act Three.
There's a season coming up. There's a reason coming up to get ready for a better taste of life. And Miromatic helps you do it right.
With the home canning season coming up, remember this. The Miromatic aluminum pressure canner lets you can all kinds of food safely. And the Miromatic pressure canner is the only one that comes in seven sizes, from 2.5 to 22 quart. One is right for your family. And only the Miromatic pressure canner has an unbreakable one-piece control with three pressure settings. So the Miromatic you use for canning is also a versatile pressure cooker. Use it year-round to make tasty meals in one-third the time of conventional methods. The Miromatic cooker canner, to get ready for a better taste of life.
Miromatic helps you do it right. Wheels are ever spinning, shining spokes are catching sun. There are people seeking nature, seeking help and seeking fun.
Last year, over 15 million new bicycles were sold in the United States, and over 70 million are now in use. Studies show that the leading causes of bicycle accidents are loss of control, mechanical and structural problems, and the entanglement of foreign objects in the wheels. So, make sure your bicycle meets the new safety standard.
So cycle up, America, a craftsman are being told. There's a life that is riding on every bike.
For more information, ride bicycles, Washington, D.C., 20207, the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
Revenge is a fire that needs to be fed, and the longer it burns, the more fuel it consumes, until finally, it burns everything. And everyone, as it rages out of control. Such a conflagration has already been started.
Hello, Anna.
Oh, Nick, you're home.
Why shouldn't I be home? I live here. Where should I go?
Oh, Nick, I was so frightened. You were taken to the house of that gangster chief.
Gangster chief? Why? Mr. Bizet is what they call an eccentric millionaire.
I don't understand.
The man is devoted to roses, as I am. I sent him some blood reds. He asked me to work for him.
You would work for
Anna,
him?
Anna, life goes on.
He killed our son.
Who says that?
I don't understand, Nick.
Our son was murdered by hoodlums, engaged in a private quarrel. Who the killers were, we may never know. We have rumor, we have gossip.
Nick, what are you going to do to him?
I will not do anything to him.
It isn't true.
Why should I do anything to him?
He is responsible for Steve's death. We know that.
And if he is, are we not commanded to forgive?
Oh, I'm afraid.
Of what?
Of you. Nick, listen to me. You're different. Different from other men.
Ah, what are you saying? What other men have you known?
Believe me, there is in you a force, a power. Oh, Nick.
Anna, you really don't know what you are talking about.
Listen to me. I married you because I could feel this power.
Power? What power?
You have the power of the earth. The forces of the earth are in you. You're a man of the earth. Look at what you can bring forth from the ground.
Anna, I'm hungry. Is supper prepared?
He's a bandit chief.
Bandit chief? We are back in the old country.
He is surrounded by fierce, heavily armed men.
I wish you would listen to me, my dear Anna.
And yet you have the power to destroy him. Because no one and nothing can stop you.
Must I eat my supper in some cafeteria?
What are you going to do to this man? How are you going to kill him?
Women. And mine is the best of them. And even she has no understanding. I will take this man's son from him. I will rob him of the only precious thing in his life. But it seemed I must wait. He wasn't there the next day, or the next weeks. Months went by.
It's a miracle. This garden, it's a miracle. You know something? Nothing ever grew here before.
But I saw this garden before I went to work.
It was a hustle. It was all brought in, every inch of dirt.
This place could only grow weeds.
Oh, I cannot believe that.
You know what I told the old man? I said you got too much blood in the ground.
Why are you unhappy?
Huh? Unhappy? Why should I be unhappy?
I'm the one who asked the question.
Who are you to question me? What do you know? What do you know about anything?
What do you know? What do you know about anything? I had heard those words before. They were spoken to me by my own son. My own son. And with great fire and passion.
What do you know? What do you know about anything? You're in America now, for crying out loud. You're not some ignorant European peasant.
What are you trying to say to me, Stephen?
Oh, wise up. You walk around all day with dirt on your shoes and manure on your hands. What do you know about anything? You have to be smart in this country, because what counts here is the almighty buck. That's what people understand. That's what people respect. And that's what I'm out to get.
Stephen, listen to me.
I know what you're going to say, and I won't buy it.
Steve, look at this. Look at this rose.
So what? It's just a rose.
No. It's a special rose. It's my very own rose. It never existed before, this blood-red rose. All the money in the world could never buy this rose. Steve, all the money in the world could never buy this rope.
Hey, who are you talking to, Nick? You all right?
Forgive me. Sometimes...
Besides, what do you mean? All the money in the world can't buy that rose. It's for sale, isn't it?
Well, what I mean is that all of the money in the world could not buy that rose before it existed. With all your wealth, my son, with all your power, let me see you cause a rose to rise from this ground. Not even a weed will obey you if it isn't God's will. The moment it had come and gone, how could I kill him when I was talking about God? And then a thought flashed into my mind. I wasn't going to kill him. I was going to save him. I knew I was going to save him. And I realized that I wanted to save him more than I wanted anything else in the world.
Tell me something, Nick. What are you doing to my boy?
Huh? What am I doing?
I mean, well, he stays home. He doesn't run around. He's very quiet. I see him in the gardens all the time.
I don't think I'm doing anything.
He's finally showing signs of turning into a very serious person. And I have to have him that way to run my business. Anyhow, whatever it is you're doing, Nick, keep it up.
How do you get that rose to be such a red color? Such a blood red?
That's not the way to say it. This rose does not obey me. It does not do what I command or desire. I only help it to become what it must be, what God has intended it to be. God certainly did not intend for any of us to lie, rob, murder. He only wanted us to love each other.
Love.
This world needs so much love. What is it that you wanted to be? What was it that you wanted to do?
I wanted to help people.
Oh, that's a fine answer. And you have money.
No. My father has money. But I won't touch it. It's blood money.
How can you help without money?
I'll give myself. There was a young guy, I read about him in the papers. It was a long time ago. I don't even remember his name. He went down into the slums. He wasn't a priest, he wasn't a doctor, he wasn't a lawyer, but he was there. And he did what he could.
He was a most unusual young man. Not everyone could do what he did.
I know. And maybe I can't either. But I'm gonna try.
You're crazy. Where are you going?
I'm leaving, Father.
Well, what are you leaving?
You, this, everything.
You mean you're gonna live in some filthy rat hole, huh?
Can't live here.
Why?
Because I finally found out who I am. What I am and what I want to do.
You're my son. You can't give this up, you can't.
Goodbye, Father.
But what was it for? Who was it for? Why did I do it? For you.
I don't want it.
Stay with me, Junior. Why, we can own the world.
Come with me, Father. We can have the world.
Oh, you'll come back. You'll come crawling back on your hands and knees. You'll get bit by the first rat. Hit. By the first rock.
Goodbye, Nick.
Goodbye.
Could I have some of those roses?
Oh, of course.
Thanks. Blood red roses. Goodbye.
Nick, what's gotten into that boy? Is the whole world gone crazy?
Why don't you go and live with him?
You know what you're talking about.
He has chosen a new way of life. Unless that way becomes your way, you'll never see him again.
How can I stop being Jerry Bizet? How? Answer me.
You can't. And that's why he's been taken away from you. You've lost him forever.
An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and a son for a son. Payment in kind. And that's the most satisfying revenge there is. And so Jerry Bizet loses a son, just the way Nick Berko lost a son. And you may say, well, Jerry's loss certainly doesn't compare with Nick's, but it does. It does. For a son is the reason a father dreams. And now, Jerry's dreams are as dead as Nick's. I'll be back shortly.
When you finished putting up a picket fence, and putting up a picket fence about finished you, then it's time for country time.
It's time for country time, it's time for country time. The lemonade tastes a good old-fashioned country time.
It's time for new Country Time lemonade-flavored drink mix. Anytime you worked up an old-fashioned thirst for the taste of old-fashioned lemonade, new Country Time from General Foods in the yellow and brown can.
She was tooling down a country road when her radiator sneezed, and then it blowed. She used a pace CB and started hollering, "Breaker, breaker, this is Sweetheart." Well, there's people with a pace all over the place, and Sweetheart started a human race. Semis and campers and helicopters. When you're in a fix, you'll draw a crowd. When you got a pace, for crying out loud. When you got a pace CB, you got the world by the ears. Pace CB two-way radios for your car, home, and business. See them today at your nearby Pace dealer.
Pick up a pickup. Pick it up and take it home.
Pickups, a rotary-powered air conditioner from Fetters. Just as powerful as ordinary units, but lighter and smaller. So you can take it home and
put it in the window, close the sash and plug it in. Move it to the bedroom, take it on vacation. One little pickup, one little pickup. One little Fetters may be all you need.
Pick up a pickup at your Fetters dealer today.
Ragtime, the music that swept a nation. And now, Ragtime, E.L. Doctorow's astonishing bestseller, is dazzling the country. It's the story of three families swept up in America's changing tempos at the turn of the century. Their lives become entwined with real people like Harry Houdini and Henry Ford. It's a novel rich in imagination and entertainment. Read Ragtime, a bantam book where paperbacks are sold. Nothing quite like Ragtime has ever been written before.
Roses, the traditional flowers of romance. The red rose of courage and valor, the white rose of purity and hope. What's in a name? Everything. The bard, to the contrary, notwithstanding. Would a rose, by any other name, smell as sweet? Probably. But who would believe it? Our cast included Robert Dryden, Bryna Rayburn, Arnold Moss, William Redfield, and Bob Caliban. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Coming up next on KIXI, the weather outlook calls for mostly cloudy skies with increasing chance of showers tonight and tomorrow. Variable cloudiness with some sunny periods, but a slight chance of a few showers on Wednesday. The highs in the upper 60s tomorrow, the low 70s on Wednesday, and lows in the mid 50s. And in downtown Seattle currently, it's 58 degrees, the barometer holding steady at 30.10.
You can hear the difference. Bright and beautiful music. K.
KIXI, Seattle.
It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. Democrats ran the first session of their national convention with harmony, order, and according to schedule. But while they struggled to avoid the word, many delegates conceded most of the proceedings were dull. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The interest highlight of the Monday evening opening session was the keynote speech of Texas Congresswoman Barbara Jordan. The first black woman elected to Congress from the South, Miss Jordan became the first woman and first black to keynote the Democratic Convention. She noted her presence in that capacity made something different and special about the opening night. She warned of the danger of America becoming a collection of interest groups, each seeking to fulfill private dreams. Her speech touched off an electric moment, a long, cheering, standing ovation. By contrast, the first keynote speaker, former astronaut, now senator from Ohio, John Glenn, was received politely. One of those interviewed by Jimmy Carter as a possible running mate, many listened carefully, making judgments on his ability on the stump. National Chairman Robert Strauss promised the convention would be run with precision, and it was gaveled into recess 2 minutes early, despite getting underway 15 minutes late. At one point, Strauss spoke of the virtue of harmony in the party and nationally.
We've learned that our common goals and our hopes for a better America are far stronger than our differences. And we know well the price America paid for all of our mistakes and all of our disunity in 1968 and 1972. 8 years of Nixon Ford.
But some contention yet may lie ahead for the Democrats. That story and other news following this message.
Are you giving your children all the attention they deserve? Naturally, we all wish we had more time for our families. This is Susan Strasberg for the National Society for the Prevention of Blindness. And as a mother, I think the health and safety of our children's eyesight is one thing we can't afford to neglect. Potentially dangerous toys shouldn't find their way into children's unsupervised playtime, and hazardous household items should be kept well out of reach. 90% of all eye accidents that occur to children are preventable. 2/3 of these accidents occur during play or sport, and most of these children are unsupervised. If that happens, then parents are obviously not doing their job. We must teach our children how to play safely and safeguard their vision. For free information on children's eye safety, write Prevent Blindness, Box 426, New York, New York, 10019. The address again, Box 426, New York, New York, 10019.
Presumed presidential nominee Jimmy Carter spent the day trying to head off problems, presenting a compromise plan to appease women's rights representatives who had sought a change in the rules for the 1980 convention, ordaining equal distribution of male and female delegates. Still, some of the women vow it's 50-50 or fight. The list of possibilities for the number two spot on the ticket shrank to six when New Jersey Congressman Peter Rodino pulled out, citing a recurrent eye problem as a possible campaigning difficulty. Carter asked him to make the nominating speech. Rodino accepted. But despite a Carter attempt to smooth over another problem concerning the vice presidential nominee, it still looms as an issue. CBS News correspondent Randy Daniels reports.
A delegation of black Democratic leaders met with Carter to discuss the possible selection of a black running mate and secure his support of affirmative action throughout the party structure. Carter agreed that he would support minority participation in the party and said he would back black vice chairman Basil Patterson in his effort to retain his job. But Carter did not yield on the vice presidential question, saying he preferred a running mate with Washington experience. That ended the chances of Los Angeles Mayor Tom Bradley, the man some of the black leaders wanted on the ticket. There is also a campaign for California Congressman Ron Dellums, a black, and his name will be put into the nomination process. But Dellums is given no real chance of succeeding. Even black leaders agree that Carter's choice will be the Democratic vice presidential nominee. Randy Daniels, CBS News, New York.
I'm Barbara Hale for Amana, and that big sound is Danny Davis and the Nashville Brass playing
sang a special bicentennial medley recorded for a Mana Stereo album, America 200 Years Young. Come here, Danny, save your energy.
Hi, Barbara, let's all save energy, and we can with the Mana energy-saving appliances.
The radar range microwave oven uses 50 to 75% less energy than a conventional electric range. And for something else that blows cool, Danny, a Mana energy-saving room air conditioners. There's even an Mana energy-saving refrigerator that uses just a little more electricity per day than a 100-watt bulb.
Get your Mana Bicentennial record album with me, Danny Davis, and the Nashville Brass, a $6.95 value for only a dollar.
Just by asking your participating Mana retailer to tell you why, when the name of the game is saving energy, the name of the appliance is Mana.
Queen Elizabeth arrives in Halifax, Canada, Tuesday to begin a four-day tour of eastern Canada. In Montreal, negotiations still were underway late Monday in an attempt to convince Taiwanese athletes to compete as guests of the International Olympic Committee. The athletes, who originally sought to compete as the Republic of China, are reported concerned about losing face if they participate without that identification. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
This is KIXI Seattle. It's now 6 minutes past 11.
Midnight blue. Even though simple things become rough, haven't we had enough? And I think we can make it one more time if we try.
Over 60, we've got your number. It's the one phone number you can call for just about any information or assistance you may need. We'll help you with housing, health care, food, transportation, counseling, volunteer opportunities, and other needs. We're Senior Services and Centers, and our number is 285.